Again, please, to that chapter that Tim has read to us, John 4. Today and the next two Sundays, I would like to speak, God willing, about different ones who actually met the Lord Jesus and the way their lives were influenced and changed through that encounter with him. Just recently I read a delightful account of a captain who one very foggy night at sea, he spotted in the distance what looked like the lights of another ship heading towards him and closing fast. And it was a fair while ago. And he had his signalman contact the other ship by light. And the message was, change your course 10 degrees to the south. The reply came back, change your course 10 degrees to the north. Then the captain answered, I am a captain of a large ship. Change your course 10 degrees to the south. The reply, I am a seaman first class. Change your course 10 degrees to the north. Now, this last exchange really infuriated the captain, so he signalled back, I am a battleship, and therefore have priority. Change your course 10 degrees to the south. The reply, and I am a lighthouse. Change your course 10 degrees to the north. Well, we can only assume that the captain took heed and did change his course 10 degrees. To the north. You might be wondering why I mention this in the light of this woman who met the Lord at the well in Samaria. Well, really here in this chapter was someone who found that she too was being challenged to change course in her life and to begin to take heed to the Saviour's clear words. And as we progress, of course, if we had have read the whole chapter together, we would have noticed, and we can praise God that she did change course. She took heed. But really, what comes through to me personally in this encounter with the Lord Jesus is the gradual awakening that this Samaritan woman had of just who the Lord really was. I think that's important to see. And we see this, don't we, when firstly she thought that he was just another Jewish man who was thirsty and who needed a drink of water. In verse 9 there, she said, you are a Jew, and you ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman. So that's what she firstly thought of this one she had encountered by the well there in that Samaritan town. You are a Jew. Then I think when the Lord spoke of living water that he could give to her, as we have in verse 10 then, and when he put his finger on her marital status and history, without having known her previously or anything about her, she concluded that he was a Jewish prophet. Look at verse 16 there. And Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands. And the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly. Not just a Jewish man with a thirst who needed a drink of water. But is this one a prophet? I perceive that you are a prophet. She said there in verse 19. So there's that gradual awakening here. Incidentally, it looks as though she never did get round to giving the Lord a drink of water. Have you thought about that? But anyhow, the Lord was more conscious and concerned about her needs, wasn't he, being met than his own. Well, whether she got round to it or not, we don't know. We would assume not, for when now she starts straight into venture into the rather thorny topic between Jews and Samaritans of how and where people ought to be worshipping God. We have that in verses 19 and 20. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Here, she says, on Mount Gerizim, is this the place for us Samaritans, a sacred site? And after all, you who know the scriptures, she was inferring to the Lord, wasn't it Moses himself who said that after the people would cross over the Jordan and enter into the land of Canaan, the promised land, that from Mount Gerizim, near where the Lord and this woman were at that time, here on Mount Gerizim, the priests who came across the Jordan were to bless the people with the blessing of God, this sacred mountain for us Samaritans, so important. But you Jews say, no, we should be worshipping God there in Jerusalem where you have your temple. We had a temple once on Mount Gerizim, but it was destroyed. We still worship there. But you Jews say that in Jerusalem, where your temple is located, that is the place where men ought to worship. It's lovely, isn't it, when we see when the Lord is speaking with anyone that he never compromised the truth. And here is exactly the same. For true worship, the Lord Jesus said, there in verses 21 to 24, he said it's not a matter of location. Whether it's Mount Gerizim or in Jerusalem. Nor is it a matter of outward ceremony and symbols. The true worship is what comes from a heart that just wells over in loving appreciation of who God is for himself. That's what worship is. Don't you feel that as the Lord discussed these things with her, that this was for her a further awakening to consider changing the direction, the course of her life, a course that she was on. And we need to note very well that it's only God's Holy Spirit, and wonderfully he's also the Spirit of Jesus, who can enable us to truly worship in spirit and in truth. In truth, that is, with that true understanding that our God and Father and Saviour is indeed the truth. That's the only way we can worship him in spirit and in truth, isn't it? If we really know him to be who he is. We can worship him only when we know that he is worthy of all our adoration. And the Lord told this woman in verse 22 that the Samaritans did not know God in this way. And the Lord said that salvation would come through the Jews, that is, through the nation of Israel, through the seed of Abraham. course, she, along with her fellow Samaritans, were expecting the Messiah to come, as were the Jews. In verse 25 there, she says, I know that Messiah is coming. And John, who wrote this gospel, Messiah is the Old Testament a name for the New Testament word Christ. And she said, when he comes, he will tell us all things. He will tell us all things. It's good to know that the Samaritans, although they rejected most of the Old Testament scriptures as being the word of God, they did hold to the first five books of Moses, Genesis through to Deuteronomy. We call that, of course, the Pentateuch. They did accept those. And so, she knew from a section there, actually, in Deuteronomy chapter 18. Yes, we know, we Samaritans know that the Messiah is coming. It's right there in that very chapter, Deuteronomy 18. And there are two verses there, 15 and verse 18. Moses spoke to the people there in verse 15 and says, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet. That's with a capital P, referring to the Messiah. A prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, and him you shall hear. And in verse 18, after the Lord conferred with Moses, he said this to him, I will indeed raise up for them a prophet like you, Moses, from among your brethren, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And so she could say, we know that the Messiah is coming. We know. Because they had the promise in this very book that they accepted as the scripture. And she said, when he comes, there in verse 25, he will tell us all things. Now in the next verse, the Lord Jesus replied to this statement by using another part of the Pentateuch which they held as Samaritans. That is the book of Exodus. This is interesting that she accepted that book also as part of the word of God. And so the Lord went right there in his answer to her. In verse 26, in reply to the statement, when he comes, he will tell us all things. The Lord said, I who speak to you am he. And the he in our Bibles is in italics to make sense in the English language. But what he was really doing was using the very name that God used with Moses at the burning bush in the book of Exodus, chapter 3. When he said, when he revealed himself to Moses, I am who I am. And when you go to my people in bondage, tell them that the I am has sent me to you. Of course, this is the very name we know to be as Yahweh. And in our English Bibles, in the Old Testament, the translators always put the word in capitals, that is the word Lord. They translate it as Lord, but all in capitals, the four letters in capitals. So when we see that in our Old Testament, that is Yahweh, that is I am. And this is the very title that the Lord Jesus used when he answered this woman who said, we know that Messiah is coming, and when he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus replied, I who speak to you am. I am. I am he. I am he. You see, There was no threat here to reveal himself as the Messiah to this Samaritan woman. He had to be more guarded, didn't he, when he was using this title amongst the Jews, amongst the Pharisees? But right through John's Gospel, he does declare that. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And so it's there. And it's right here in this chapter as well. I who speak to you am he. And so things began to move when he said that. Look at verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ, the Messiah? Then they went out of the city and came to him. They started out, didn't she? She started out assuming that he was just a Jew. Then when he spoke to her, she said, no, you're more than a Jew, you are a prophet, and indeed a theologian. And she wanted to debate the scripture with him. Well, it's lovely to be able to debate the scripture, isn't it? And, oh, what a wonderful person to talk about the word of God together. Well, she did, and there was that gradual awakening. And this confrontation for her to also consider changing the direction of her life. Was she going to continue to live as she had been living? But she was being challenged to change her direction. And then as she goes into the town and meets with the men there, and she says, could this be the Messiah, the Christ? This gradual awakening for her. And the end result is seen there in those verses from 39 to 42. We'll just read that together as well, as we see this very wonderful ending. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him, because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Note that. And they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, I think we can put in brackets only, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Messiah, the Saviour of the world. We believe. And of course the woman, obviously, when she came there, her heart had been awakened to see who this one really was. She also would have believed. And she said, they said, we believe, for we have heard him ourselves. A true revelation began to come to these Samaritans through this personal testimony of the woman. But ultimately, it came through Christ's own word. And his own precious word to our hearts, as the Holy Spirit of God makes it real to us, makes it alive, this is what will challenge us to change course in our thinking too. In other words, that we face up to the very fact that we deserve nothing of God because we are sinners. Not because of what we have done, but because what we are. And brothers and sisters, isn't it true that each of us has needed to repent, to turn from that direction we were going, to acknowledge our sin, to change course, and to be converted to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, to believe. Now we believe because we have heard him ourselves, and we know that he is the Christ, the Savior of the world. And this, of course, will result in true assurance that this one, indeed, whose incarnation we do celebrate at this time, is indeed the Christ, the Saviour of the world. Do you have that assurance this morning? Can you say, along with these Samaritans, yes, we believe that he is the Christ, the Saviour of the world, but even more personally, can we also say, yes, I believe because I have heard him myself, and I know that he is the Christ, the Saviour of the world, and my Saviour too. May God bless his precious word to our hearts. Let's pray together. Loving Father, as we this morning break the bread and drink the cup together in remembrance of your beloved Son, we pray that you will just cause our hearts through your Holy Spirit to so well up in true worship, praise, adoration, Lord, and assurance for all, not only what he has done for us, Lord, but all he is in himself. We ask these things in his worthy name.